We are Radio Catskill.
Welcome to the local edition on a Friday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Roballo. Hope you're doing well, staying safe. We have a packed show for you tonight, so let's get straight to it. In the second half of the show, we'll find out what the People for People Fund is all about. And we'll find out, of course, they're happy about celebrating 40 years of doing what they do. So that's in the second half of the show. But first up, we have on the line with us, as always on a Friday, the one and only Chris Rowley from the Shawangunk Journal, letting us know what's happening in Ellenville and Ulster County. Chris, let's start off with some awards. There was the first annual Executive Arts Awards. What can you tell us about this?
The first annual Ulster County Executives Arts Awards, which is a long title. And as I understand it, the county executive lends her name to it, but it doesn't have much to do with this. She doesn't choose these people or anything. However, for Ellenville, we have a dog in the fight, as it were. We have Amy Park, the artist, who shares the 9 Market Street gallery space. And she's getting an award as for the best exterior art of the year, which is the dramatic blue and white paint job on the Shadowland Theatre, the Shadowland Second Theatre, and the Shadowland Workshops, which are on Centre Street. So there's these 3 buildings that have all got this really dramatic, modern-looking art, which she did a tremendous amount of work on. It's all based on the concept of spotlights. Right. Spotlights breaking through the dark and illuminating areas this way, that way. And it's like modern art anywhere, everywhere. It was welcomed by some and hated by others. What can you say? It's always the same, that with that. But she's getting an award, and this ceremony will be on, man, there's a terrible typeface for this, I tell you. You can barely read this. It's going to be on June the 11th, so that's this weekend, and it's going to be at 5:30. And it's at the Diamond Mills Hotel in Saugerties, and there's a meal and all that kind of thing to go with it. So the big event, and it's not cheap, $125. But these things never are. Yeah. Anyway, there are a whole bunch of other awards, about 6 of them. And I imagine that the best and the brightest from Ulster County will be at this thing. That won't include me, but that's okay. That'll be there. And our Amy will get her award, which is deserved. Right. Put in a ton of work for that thing. Another thing to mention coming up a little next week, we should mention this. There's going to be a reading of Midsummer Night's Dream, William Shakespeare's 20th play, anyway, on Friday, June the 20th at 7 p.m. at the Market Street Studio. Again, same studio that Amy has a half share of. This is Paul Valinsky's studio. And this is very cute. At 7 p.m., you can sign up to participate. You can pick your character from a hat at 7:15 p.m. At 7:30 p.m. is showtime. So if you've always dreamed of reciting the words of the bard, you can. And texts and props and such will be provided. And I love this line, fairy wings, donkey heads, crowns, and an open mind are all encouraged. So anyway, so we'll see how that does. Presumably we'll go and check that one out. Now, the other thing, we've got to get something a bit more serious, which is Janet Nunes is now basically running County Services, Ulster County Services, right, the Farber Building in Ellenville. There's a lot of stuff there, whether it's for the seniors, for mental health, for kids, a lot of different things happening. And that building is, stage by stage, being resuscitated. It had really been shut down 12 years ago. Everything had pretty much gone, but it has been really brought back. And on this particular thing, the county executive, Jen Metzger's promises have really been fulfilled. And so far, anyway, it's coming together. And there's a lot of services people can make themselves aware of it by calling the building and just checking into whatever it is that you need. For instance, domestic violence, you can get help. You can get help for him and help for her. Very important stuff. So that's happening. And she also announced that there's going to be a kind of a health, I don't know what you call it, a festival, a seminar. I don't really know what you call it, but it's what they call Ellen, and it will be held on August the 30th.
At the location? Inside the location or like outside, yes. Like street vendors?
Yeah, okay. At the building. I think it'll be at the building. And if the weather's nice, you can spill over outside of it. But it will be at the Trudy Fiber. And that will be, that's a new event. That's a new calendar entry for August, which will be a busy month because, of course, it was going to kick off right at the end of July with the Borscht Belt having an F festival.
Right.
Borscht Belt. And then, I believe on the 14th, will be the Blueberry Festival. That will be going on through August. It'll be very busy. And then at the end of August, they're going to have this Ellen event. Those things all happening. We're having our primaries coming up in June 24th. Should also mention another thing here on the mental health front. There's a riding for mental health on June 21st and June 22nd. Check out the website, The Ride for Mental Health. You can register, you can ride, and you can volunteer all in one place. It's going to be a 100-mile route on the Saturday, and there'll be a 50 and 25-mile route as well. So if you've got your bike and you want to go out on a big ride on the 24th, 21st to 22nd. Sorry.
Okay.
22nd. Get your tires pumped.
And let's move into some more New York State news, but it sort of involves Ellenville and Ulster County. Lieutenant Governor Antonio Delgado announced his candidacy to run against Governor Kathy Hochul next year. He's going to primary her. What can you tell us about, we've heard a lot of stories about his running, but what you can tell us about this and sort of the Ulster County connection, because Delgado was in Ulster County not too long ago.
Antonio Delgado, current Lieutenant Governor, has put his hat in the ring to primary Kathy Hochul, the governor. This might be seen as a little bit of tit for tat or a backstabbing. I'm not sure, since Antonio Delgado was our congressman for the old 18th district, which included Ellenville. The new 18th barely does. It's all moved across the mountain. But he was our congressman from 2019 to 2022, when she basically gave him a leg up to become lieutenant governor. But apparently he didn't really care to become just a part of the Hochul machine. So he's bridled at that, and he hasn't been enormously involved in things, and he doesn't still wanted to work on her campaign. Next year will be the first gubernatorial election in which candidates for governor and lieutenant governor must run together on a joint ticket during the primary election. That's going to be tricky since he's the lieutenant governor.
Yeah. You mentioned, I'm curious to find out, has this ever happened before in New York State history, in government history?
I haven't had a chance to research that, but I'd be surprised if it hasn't, politics being the way they are. But on the other hand, for the Democratic Party, I'm not sure, because there has generally tended to be a kind of fairly smooth machine, but I don't know for sure. So if anybody knows, let me know. But so he entered the Democratic primary this week on Monday, fresh off a public split with her. And he then went off and did a roundabout town hall tour of the state and made it clear that he is running against her. He appeared here in Ellenville on a birthday event for court judge. Oh, Lord, forgotten it again.
The Thurgood Marshall.
Right, NAACP every year in Ellenville has a breakfast celebrating Thurgood Marshall's birthday. Thurgood Marshall's name has perhaps become a little forgotten now, but he was a vital force in the ending of Jim Crow and things like the Brown v. Board of Education, the great lawsuit in 1954 that broke the, well, began to break the grip of segregation on education, public education in states like Arkansas. He was the master of all of that. And then he was on the Supreme Court for quite a long time, too, until I think he died. I'm not entirely sure of that. But anyway, he was on the Supreme Court. And probably, I think he was certainly the first African-American Supreme Court justice. So they celebrate him, and they celebrate his birthday with that breakfast by the NAACP. So Antonio Delgado came to that event, the lieutenant governor, and he gave a very fiery speech. We reported as what we could of it because we don't really get that deep into national politics at the SJ, Shangang Journal.
SJ, I like that. I like that code there.
Oh, yeah. You know, you get tired of saying Shangang Journal after a while. We're in that period of the year where there's just an awful lot happening. It's really busy.
And usually when the Summer Kings comes in, it amps up things, especially when you have a lot of events happening. And Ellenville, to me, it seems like every year it's getting a bit more busier and busier now, especially with the Shadowlands renovations and the Borscht Belt Museum and all the other festivals that are happening in Ellenville this summer.
Yeah, it has been getting pretty busy. It really has. On one serious side, the mayor of Ellenville, Evan Trent, did give a kind of a speech, but a presentation almost of thoughts regarding a short-term rental law. Mm. This is, of course, an issue that all of our towns or in the whole area has been dealing with. And he basically is thinking that they'll just take the law that the town of Worthing passed and adapt that for the village, only with more meatier fines for people that do the wrong thing. The issue with Airbnb and all the short-term rental things is, you want some because that gives you something for visitors and tourists to somewhere for to stay. So we're not blessed a lot of hotels like we were once. But the other side of it is we have a tremendous housing shortage, and you just don't want houses and apartments all taken over by rentals. How do you balance those two things? And Ellenville, Worthing is in the midst of doing that.
Right.
Yeah. So there we go. Another week.
All right, Chris. Oh, it's all good stuff. So again, Chris, thank you so much for talking to us. We're talking to Chris Rowley from the SJ. And talk about Ellenville and Oyster County. Thanks to God. Appreciate it.
Take care now. Bye.
We'll be right back. Learn more about the People for People Fund. It's Friday. I'm Patricio Robayo. It's the Local Edition. Stay tuned.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom.
7, 6.
Commencing countdown, engines on.
You're listening to the Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
I want to just acknowledge a certain awkwardness to the work we're about to undertake, which is we are going to be talking, you and I, about a very important film that none of us will ever see.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Totally.
I'm Michael Barbaro. That's Today on the Daily from the New York Times.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. This week, we walk through the gate of summer by visiting three cooks in three very different parts of the country to see what June tastes like for them. We'll hear about the shrimp of coastal Georgia, the salmon of Alaska, the preserves of Appalachia, and more. Coming up on The Splendid Table.
The Splendid Table, Sunday morning at 11 on Radio Catskill.
Welcome back to the Local Edition on a Friday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. The People for People Fund is celebrating 40 years. The People for People Fund is a nonprofit dedicated to providing intern financial assistance to residents of Orange, Sullivan, and Ulster counties who find themselves facing a sudden financial emergencies, whether it's covering the cost of textbooks, managing a hefty medical bill, or paying for an urgent car repair. So let's introduce the People for People Fund and who we have on the phone with us today.
Marcy Clark, I'm the executive director here at People for People Fund.
I'm Lynn, I'm a volunteer.
And I'm George, and I'm also a volunteer.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for everyone for joining us on to talk about the 40 years of the People for People Fund. Marcy, let's start at the beginning. Just remind folks, and how did the People for People Fund get started?
Certainly. Back in 1985, the Junior League and the Times Herald Record saw that there was a need in the community, and they put together the idea of the People for People Fund as one neighbor helping another neighbor. The funds are local, they're raised local, and they're distributed local. And we've been distributing grants now since 1986.
Right. And what kind of situations does the fund help with? Can you just give us an example of a typical request?
Sure. The focus of the fund is for those that are normally working, normally self-supporting, and there's been a recent event to cause a momentary financial distress. Sometimes it may be that they've had car repairs or a car accident, especially in the wintertime, hitting a deer. They have added expenses, deductibles, etc. Sometimes it may be an injury or illness that puts them out of work temporarily with reduced income, and it causes a hardship. We assist by paying a bill on someone's behalf. We don't give ongoing assistance. We're not here for a chronic problem and need. We are expecting that with our minor assistance, the problem is resolved and self-sufficiency once again continues.
And how does someone who is in need apply or get in contact with you?
Sure. They can contact our office directly, which the phone number is 845-343-1663. There is an application process that they must go through. They can also go to our website, which is peopleforpeoplefund.org, and that's people, the word for, not the number. So peopleforpeoplefund.org. There is an application available online, and there's more details about our program, and there's a frequently asked questions section as well, which they might find helpful.
And since while you're distributing funds, you have a team of volunteers. Do you want to introduce them?
Yes. Today we have Lynn and George with us. Our volunteers make a commitment of 4 hours once per week. So if anybody is also interested in volunteering, we are in the Middletown area. Our service area does cover Orange, Sullivan, and Ulster County. Volunteers do go through a training process, and they generally speak with the applicant and gather details during the application process.
Right. Now, Lynn, let's start with you. How did you get involved with the People for People Fund, and why did you decide to volunteer?
That's an interesting question. I was recently retired and looking for something to do to give back to my community. A woman in our community had recently passed away. She was someone I had admired. I was at her funeral, and I learned that she was an original board member of People for People. And 2 weeks later, there was an ad in the paper that People for People needed volunteers. So it was meant to be. That was 23 years ago or 22 years ago. That's how long I've been volunteering here, and it was because of someone whom I admired and the timing of her death and the coincidence of an ad seeking volunteers.
Wow. Thank you so much for that long time volunteering service there. Well, Lynn, what kind of work, what kind of jobs do you do? What kind of things do you help out with for the People for People Fund?
Our job as volunteers, we contact the applicants. We get additional information. Many people are seeking help with rent or car repairs or utility bills. And so we call landlords and utilities, get details of the history of payments and things like that. And we look, as Marcy said initially, we look to help people who are normally self-sufficient and have a one-time need, not an ongoing need for assistance to get them over some troubled waters.
Now, George, with you, how long have you been volunteering and how did you find out about the People for People Fund?
I've been doing it for 11 years. I didn't realize it was that long, but it was 11 years. And similar to Lynn, I was retiring and I had just retired and I was figuring something to do, spare time, and volunteering was always one of those things. And I found it very difficult while I was working because I was commuting from the Middletown area to New York every day. So didn't have a lot of spare time, but read the record on the train in the morning and you could see the work that People for People were doing, for helping out, as Lynn said. So when it came time to retire, I said, this is a nice organization to work for because it's helping people who are not familiar with the social service process and really don't know where to go to get help, considering it's usually self-sufficient. So it was a good place to get started, and I enjoy it for that reason, because the people that we do help, they're so grateful because they're in a situation where they were so used to paying their bills, to have to ask for help sometimes is difficult.
Yeah, definitely understandable. George and Lynn, if either one, can you tell us a story or two that sort of stuck with you and during your time in volunteering, maybe someone you spoke to that sort of you felt the impact that the fund has had on them?
Yeah, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. There are people who have recently faced the fact that they have health issues, those are the ones that get to me probably the most. Because no matter what stage in life you are, no matter what your finances are, you become so vulnerable to everything else that the assistance we've given over the years, those are the people who are often the most grateful and because they're the most vulnerable. And so that sort of thing is very satisfying.
How about you, George?
Yeah, it's very similar. You have people who, in the middle of winter, their heating system goes out and they don't know what to do. They get a hold of, call People for People, and they're able to have their boiler repaired and get their heat back on. And that, to me, is something that's really worthwhile, because in a situation like that, people don't know where to go and, where to get the help. So with situations like that, it's helpful. Getting a car back out on the road so someone can get back to work and then not fall further behind.
The other thing that we do as part of our meeting with clients over the phone is we also provide them with additional resources that they probably don't know about. Quite often, if they reach out to Department of Social Services, they will have some places for them. But as I was saying before, in the case of someone who for the first time is having health issues, they're enmeshed in solving their own health issues that they have no idea what else is out there. And so we provide them, for instance, there's many different cancer organizations that will help people with rides to treatments and things like that. Being able to provide that service is equally important to whatever financial assistance we are able to give.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I said, if you're doing this, People Fund has been doing this for 40 years. Marcy, if you could just talk about a little bit about this funding, because I hear this folks are getting funding. Where does the funding come from and how important are local donors and volunteers like Lynn and George?
The funding all comes locally. We have had a letter writing campaign in the fall. We're doing some outreach to the community at this point. We're always seeking donations. We're operating year-round. And we just need to get the word out there that we are here to help. And we are looking for donations. We're looking for qualified applicants. And we're looking for volunteers to assist us in this process. We have a very bare bones, small office. And we're covering three counties with a handful of volunteers Last year, we gave out over $121,000 in grants, assisting about 166 applicants. Since 1985 fundraising, we gave out the first grants in January of 86, we've distributed over $5.4 million in grants to the community. All the money comes from the local community, individuals, some businesses, some civic organizations. We are not a government-funded organization. It's your neighbor helping another neighbor. It could be somebody online at the supermarket. It's that close.
Hence the name, People for People Fund. And like I said, we're marking the 40-year anniversary. Marcy, can you tell us, what does this 40-year milestone mean to you and the organization?
We're just so thankful that we are here to do the work and the community support. We are anticipating putting together a breakfast this fall, sometime in October, to recognize the community and get the word back out there for us. We're looking for the support of the community. Again, it's the local person. That $10, that $5, that $50, that $100, it all adds up to help another person in need. We're not here supplementing the government. We're here that it could be your next-door neighbor. They may be out with reduced income, have family medical leave. We've had some sad situations with children that have cancer and the family is taking some time off during their treatment. The husband and wife are losing some of their income, but they need to be there with their child. We've had car repairs for people to keep them on the road for working or undergoing cancer treatment or some other medical treatment. We've had people hospitalized and getting back to work and just trying to get caught back up. Family and friends have assisted them, and they're struggling to go forward. So they've reached out to us to see what we might be able to help them with. It's not, you're not here hitting the lottery. It's a little help to get them through a hump in the road.
Now, Marcy, let's just remind folks of someone who's listening to this and might need help or knows someone who needs help or wants to volunteer, like George and Lynn have. What can you do? Where can they go? What website? What's the phone number?
Sure.
We can do?
Yes. Our website again is peopleforpeoplefund.org. That's people, the word F-O-R. So peopleforpeoplefund.org. That's O-R-G. And our phone number is 845-343-1663. We're here 3 days per week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but you could leave a message at any time and we will return the call when we're back in. Information is on our website. An application is available on our website. There's a frequently asked questions section to give more details about us and what we can do to help.
We're talking to Marcy Ann Clark, Executive Director for the People Poor People Fund, also talking to George and Lynn, who are dedicated volunteers for the organization. Thank you so much to all of you for joining me on the program. I do really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that does it for the local edition. Thank you so much for joining me. Stay safe, everyone. Lucy, have a good night. Everyone else, stay safe, and I'll talk to you soon.
Radio Catskill supporters include the Sterling Business and Technology Park, located at Exit 17 on Interstate 84 in Northeast Pennsylvania, offering opportunities to locate or expand businesses on property zoned for manufacturing and other uses. More information at sterlingbusinesspark.com. and listeners like you who donate at wjffradio.org. WJFF Jeffersonville, this is Radio Catskill. Local news, culture, and NPR.